Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. It's episode 166 and I'm joined by Al. Hello.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, and also Anton. Hello.
Hello, it's lovely to be back. And yeah, I can't believe I missed the Persona episode. Just my luck. Despicable.
Absolutely. And we did talk a lot about the Direct last week. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, I say go listen to 165 first. And yes, if you missed the Direct, even more so, reason to do that. But we have a fairly packed show again because it's summer and it seems to be the video games just seem to... A lot happens. Lots gets announced. But before we do all that, just a quick hello to a brand new Patreon, Al.
We do, yeah. We did a big Patreon woohoo to Daniel Sykes who's joined us. Woohoo!
Woohoo! Yeah, fantastic.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
Yeah, it's great to have Daniel on board. And you can also join us if you head to nsukp.co.uk. Get all the details there. There's lots of different tiers and ways that you can join and support the podcast. And it really, really does mean the world to us. But it also means the world that you are listening right now. And Daniel also left us a fantastic review. And that's someone that anyone who listens to the show can do. It really helps us out as well, because if we get good reviews, then it helps us in the charts and all that kind of stuff. And more people get to know about the show. So this is the review from Daniel. It says, simply love it. My awesome wife bought me a Switch for my birthday last year and I've been hooked ever since. I wanted to find a good Switch podcast to show me the ropes, find great games to play and inform of unmissable deals to be had. Well, this isn't a good podcast. It's awesome. The hosts aren't bad either. Joke. They are bad. No, they are. They're not bad. They're awesome too. It's been part of my daily routine for over a year now, and I genuinely look forward to tuning in every time. It's also officially the first podcast I'm going to be supporting on Patreon too, which is absolutely what's happened. So thank you so much for that lovely review and for the support. It's fantastic, and we really appreciate it. And one of the perks that you do get as a Patreon is that you get to come and join us while we record these live shows, and that's exactly what Daniel's done tonight. So yeah, really appreciate the support, Al. It's great, isn't it, when we get these
reviews. Fantastic. Reviews are wonderful, patrons are wonderful, listeners are wonderful. It's all lovely. And to be fair, I know we say this on a regular basis, but reviews genuinely do help us in the charts. The higher we are in the charts, the more we get shown to people, the more people find us, which bumps us higher up in the charts. So absolutely, it's always really good. And if nothing else, it makes us feel warm and fuzzy, because, you know, people like us.
Yeah, it's great. A huge thanks again. Anton, I know that you put a lot of work and you've got a new review out as well, which we're going to talk about in a second. But before that, it is nice, isn't it, when we get new people into that Discord chat, which is very active.
Absolutely. It's quite fun to see all of the different conversations going on in parallel. There was an F1 chat that was particularly active today. And I would like to say here, if you're listening on the main feed, we are beta testing some adverts in it. So if you notice any oddities, do make sure to let us know, podcast@nsukp.co.uk. Alternatively, patrons get the podcast ad free. We are testing at the moment. It's a new process, new to everyone. So let us know if you've got any feedback there.
Yeah. The cool thing is that Al handpicks which adverts we actually get, which is actually quite good, because I have to say, every time I've heard an advert, when I've had a listen, I've gone, oh, that sounds like a good podcast. I'm not our one, but the ones we're advertising. And actually, it's actually led me to check out a couple. So I think it's actually a good thing. And it does help us out, because as we mentioned all the time, all the money we get in, whether that's advertising or Patreons or whatever, it goes straight back into the podcast. And we really appreciate it. Now, before we get started, Anton, have you been playing anything?
Indeed, I've been playing a good bit. While I was away, I played a good bit of a game called Game Dev Story. I'd previously played Game Dev Tycoon. Have you played either of these titles, mate?
Game Dev Story, it's the Kairosoft game, right?
Indeed,
I have played that for probably 300 hours.
My God, I'm quite hooked. I'm very much at the stage of perfecting my games company. I'm about to launch my second console, so I'm just, you know, pumping money into my staff to get them all into hardware engineers. Having tons of fun there. I also jumped over and played the new free-to-play Fall Guys. they had a Halo collection, which is one of my favorite franchises. So it was a match made in heaven. So I've been playing a good bit of that. And I played the first 30 minutes of a kind of Undertale Earthbound sort of RPG called Omomori. I'm about 30 minutes in. It starts off very weird and then gets a bit more tame. So I'm curious to see where that roller coaster of a title will take me. And yeah, excited. The music slaps. So how about yourself, Al?
That's a great description.
He does, yeah. Oh, he slapped myself. Ow. Hurts.
Yeah, that looked painful, mate.
It actually felt painful.
I love the commitment.
Yeah. Well, I've got to make the sound, otherwise it doesn't count. Anyway, Al, sorry, what have you been up to gaming-wise?
What have I been up to? Gaming-wise, probably not actually that much this week. I have played a little bit more As Far As the Eye, and now I really must sit down and actually record this review, because I've played enough of it, I think I can probably justify a review. But to be fair, most of the time I picked up the any sort of games console, I have been playing GTA 5 on the Xbox, which I would love to play on the Switch, but we don't have in the Switch, so I can't play on the Switch. Just saying. I haven't really played much. My son has picked up the Switch a couple of times this week. He's played a lot of Bomberman R.
Yeah.
He loves Bomberman R. It is such a good game.
And it will be so exciting when the second one comes out as well. And I foresee some Bomberman nights happening at that point as well, because it is a great game. I've actually been playing a lot of Fall Guys. I'm really loving it. And I've been playing various different modes. I even actually paid for the season pass. Because I'm playing it all the time. I'm like, oh, just have a quick game. And it's one of those games, a bit like Rocket League, you can pick it up and play if you've not got a lot of time, and then you can move on to something else. So the other thing I've been playing is Portal, which I've played before, but just going back to Portal, which is fantastic. The Portal companion collection is incredibly priced, as I mentioned on the last episode, so I've got those. And here's an interesting one that I bought today after watching a new review. So do you remember when all the hype around Baldo was happening and we were all kind of excited about Baldo? You will, because it's the one that looks like Ni No Kuni in the kind of artwork. It's a really nice sort of...
I will Google it right now.
Studio Ghibli type sort of animations. You know what I'm talking about, Anton?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember it. It kind of fell off the bit of the radar after it came out. Have you kind of chased up the tail?
So basically, when it came out, it was a mess. There were so many problems with it. And it wasn't so much that it was a mess in terms of the visuals or anything like that. It was just there was lots of mechanics that just weren't working properly. People were getting frustrated. It was too easy to die in the game, and it was just a bit of a mess. The developers, who are a two-man team, listened to another YouTuber who was talking about these problems, and they got in touch and they had this big conversation, and he explained all the points that people were talking about. And I think it's Switch Up. I think that's who it was. And they listened and they corrected almost all of them, and to the point where they had to rewrite code and everything to make it work properly. And it's now a totally different game to when it launched, and much more like the game that we all thought we were going to get in the first place. So they've put it on sale for that reason, because they've done this, all these changes. They've put it on sale for about £15 now and said, go and buy it. They've also added DLC, free DLC for people who have already played it, so that they've got a chance to experience more, but with all the changes. And that will inspire them, hopefully, to go and replay it in a better way. So two-man team, fantastic to do all that work. They're not getting anything from it other than people are now going to hopefully play their game that didn't the first time. And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting stuck in. I think there's 60 to 70 hours of content all in now.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off. The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Quite incredible. It's I won't lie, a game that had completely fallen off of my radar, so I'll need to give a second look around.
Well, had I not watched the video of the changes and seen what they'd done, I would never have bought it, because I was so disappointed when it launched that I kind of thought, well, what's the point? But no, it's they've made big changes, so I thoroughly recommend checking it out. I might stick the video that the Switch Up team did in our Discord for our Patreons, and if you're not a Patreon, then, well, join us, but if not, then go and check it out online. It's well worth it. It's called the Resurrection of Baldo, I think it's called. So it's
a good idea. Check it in there. I'll take a look. I might end up buying it.
It looks fantastic now. It really does. But anyway, that aside, we need to move on and start with this week's news.
Well, no. We need to know about Anton's review.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned it, but you never followed up. That's right. Okay. Carry on.
Professionalism at its best.
I know.
Professionalism. Professionalism. Not professionism.
No. Professionism. I make it words. Okay. Go with it. Beautiful.
Profession isn't. Go for it.
Yes. We've got a brand new review out now for Cotton Fantasy. It is a 2D shooter. The main review is done by Louise, which has done many, many great review for us. And also, I've ended up doing a little bit at the end there, giving my two cents. So it's my little, baby's first review over here. So do give me your feedback. Not very experienced to the writing half of it, but nevertheless, it is out now on the YouTube. That is YouTube, Nintendo Switch UK podcast. It doesn't really have an ad system.
No, just go look it up and you'll find it there. Or head to nsukp.co.uk for all the links. Thank you, Anton. I'm looking forward to watching that, actually. I haven't watched it yet, but I am, because it's a game that I thought looks pretty fun. So excited to watch it. Let's now, no false starts, move on to this week's news.
Tell us that people want to know.
Oh, but I thought you were going to jump in again. Oh, I was waiting for it.
I was tempted to. I mean, I was really, really tempted to just to mess with you. But I know you're on the clock today. You've got things to do.
We are on the clock. But that's okay, because we've got stuff to talk about, some of which you might have heard and other stuff you might not have. So we're going to start with this one. Momopi Studio have announced, that's a great name, by the way, or Momopi. What do you think? Momopi or Momopi? I'm going to go with P.
I'm going with Momopi.
Momopi. They've announced Captain Velvet Meteor, the Jump Plus Dimensions for the Nintendo Switch. It's published by Shueisha Games, a tactical adventure game and featuring jump and characters. And it's coming out on the 28th of July, and it's £18.89. What was your take on this one, Alistair?
Well, we saw this one in the Partner Direct Mini this week. So we got a real brief hint about it, and then they showed a little bit more afterwards. So it's from what I gather, it's based on an anime character, Jump Plus. It's a big anime thing, from what I gather. It's nothing I've ever heard of. And I think during the Direct, I looked at it and went, I have no idea what to make of this game. They showed us so little of it that I couldn't really form an opinion. And in all honesty, I still can't really form an opinion on this. It may be good, it may not be good. I haven't got a clue. Anton, have you got a better formed opinion of this?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. It is very much, not an IP that I'm particularly familiar with. It has some slight roaming elements that kind of remind me of the Tag Force games on the PSP, but then the battle system, slightly more Advanced Wars.
I think it does look Advanced Wars, actually. I think that's not a bad comparison, actually.
But overall, I'm kind of on the fence about it. I'm not looking at it thinking it'll be a bad game. I'm just not quite understanding what's going on here. I would love to see some more kind of in-depth gameplay, or kind of maybe a developer walkthrough to kind of walk us through the mechanics of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did kind of touch on it in the last episode and sort of say that it looks like something that there's a big following for, and a lot of people will be excited for this, but it definitely feels like something that we need to know more about, and I think a demo could be a really good option for this one. This next one we also mentioned, so we'll get Anton's thoughts on this one because we've already talked about it, but Epic Games announced Railgrade for the Nintendo Switch, self-published. It's a rail network management simulator coming out this year as well. Al and I really, really thought this looked impressive, and it looks like they've done a really good job of the system, and we've got a few rail games on the Switch, but the one thing that we thought they really did well here is the visuals. What was your take, Anton?
Yeah, I was really impressed by this title. It's a little bit of a departure for Epic Games and the sort of titles that they produce, which makes me feel like that there's a bit of heart behind it. You know, it's not clearly going to be making as much as their other titles like Fortnite, Rocket League and Fall Guys. So, a smaller title here, and it's either going to break my brain in the first like 15 minutes and I won't understand how to play it, or it'll break my life because it'll be all I'm playing. It's a very thin line, but I think it's leaning towards the latter there.
Yeah, we did think, Al, that this might be up Anton's street, didn't we?
That was it. I think I described this as I watched the trailer and went, that's got Anton's name written all over it. And it does look like it should be, and I think probably will be, a brilliant game. It just, there's something about what we've seen about it so far makes you think this looks polished, this looks like it's going to be fun, this looks kind of complicated, but not overly complicated. It'll probably walk you nicely into it, and we'll end up just sucking up hours and hours and hours and causing so much frustration and joy and happiness all at the same time.
Absolutely. It looks like they've done a good job, but time will tell. It is all in the mechanics, I would imagine, and also how it translates onto the Switch. Hyper Strange have announced Loud for the Nintendo Switch. It's published by Cubic Games, and it's a 14-chapter narratively driven rhythm arcade game coming out on the 15th of July. It is going to be I know that in dollars it's going to be $11.99, but with a 25% discount to start with, so $8.99. I'd imagine it's going to be similar in pounds. I don't have that to hand, but it's $10.79. It says there, I would imagine they'll also have the discount if that's the case in America, because that kind of works out about the same. Having said that, I think this one looks fairly fun, because I know these games. There was a game that we played way back at the start of the Switch, and it was about 99p, one of the first cheap games, a rhythm game, when we all played it, and it was Anton that suggested it, and it had a narrative kind of story driven element to it. And what was it called, Anton?
Lost in Harmony.
That's the one.
I don't remember. Yes. That was. I remember the word harmony was in there. I couldn't think what the rest of the game was.
No, you're absolutely right. And I get that kind of vibe from this, but it's more guitar based and obviously it's rhythm based. I don't know. I think this might be a kind of fun game to pick up. I can't see. I don't know if there's an audience for it at the moment. I don't know. What's your thoughts, Al?
I'm the audience for this. I watched this and went, oh, I love this. I really love this. I've always loved rhythm games. I mean, I can't play an instrument, but I do love pressing buttons to a beat. There's just something very satisfying about it and nailing it. And this, basically, this sounds like my music. It's kind of like someone took old music from the early 2000s, like that punk rock kind of phase, chucked in a really good little story about a girl coming of age and becoming a rock star, started playing in her bedroom, making her way up to the stadiums, and it's got a feel-good element about it, and it's mashed that in with the kind of music that I like to listen to. My one hesitation is a terribly wrong word, because I'm not hesitant about it in the slightest. I'm fascinated to see how the mechanic works, because unlike most of these, you know, kind of rhythm games where you've got sort of the guitar fret, whatever it is, at the front, and you press the buttons in line with the beat. This one's got six different channels all coming towards the middle of the screen, where there's like stars in a circle, and the rhythm notes are all coming in at different angles. And I have no idea how that corresponds to buttons on your controller. I can't see how they're going to map this unless it's two shoulder buttons, and I don't know. I have no idea how this is going to work, and I really want to find out. So I'm hoping we get either a review code, or it doesn't cost sort of the earth, and get it cheaper than the $10.79. I mean, to be fair, $10.79, it's not bad. I might even pay £11 for this, because it just looks like my kind of game. I'm psyched. Anton, where do you stand?
Sadly, unlike both of my wonderful co-hosts, I am rhythmically illiterate. But it is a charming game. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the gameplay of the Hatsune Miku Project Diva games, but kind of fixed, rather than having the kind of icons and move around the screen. And I'm excited to see how they kind of channel the story through this, because that's what I really loved about that Lost in Harmony game is, you know, it had a story to carry me through, or rather carry me through the mud of being bad at rhythm games and carry me through it, unlike just playing for the sake of playing it. And yeah. I'm excited to see that blend resurrected in another title.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. And the story part is definitely important, I think, to make this stand out. But it's coming out soon anyway, 15th of July, so not long to go. And I suspect they'll do a discount here as well to start with. But I haven't checked, so I can't confirm. Digital Eclipse announced Atari 50, the anniversary collection. It's another one we spoke about the other night. But this one, really interesting. We kind of both commented, Alistair and I, on how innovative this looked for a collection, because it did some stuff really well, we thought. So there's a collection of 90 plus games from the 2600, the 5200, the 7800, the ST, the Jaguar, the Lynx, and the collection also features interviews with designers, developers, and industry leaders, documentary footage, the product design documents, high resolution artwork, and six new games that revisit, mashup, and reimagine Atari classics. And that was the bit that we thought, that's quite cool, that's quite interesting. It's coming out Q4 2022. What I like about this is content, because it's, if you're going to do a collection of games that are clearly from a time gone by that is difficult to sell when there's Atari collections, I think, on every console ever. This is a good one, though, because they put a lot into it. And I actually think content-wise, this could be the definitive version, Anton.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job here. And when I saw another Atari collection, I kind of droned because they've been making them forever just with them being so old. And usually it's a bunch of 2600 games and there's like maybe 30 good ones and then a bunch of rubbish. The fact that they have such a variety from all these different platforms is really good. And what I like about this collection is it feels like it's definitive. We've had a lot of collections where it's like, got some weak stuff in there and you know they've got the hot stuff left over for a volume two. This feels like just the definitive Atari collection. I think with how many collections they've made in the past, that's exactly what they needed to celebrate their 50th anniversary.
Doesn't make you wonder where they're going to go next. I mean, this literally is the definitive collection. Everything is in there. I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to end up charging us for the privilege of owning this, but there's so much content in there that almost whatever they charge is probably a bargain, particularly when you get all these mashups, all the interviews, all the everything else that goes with it. But can I just make one little observation? Go find the release trailer for this. I have seen the coolest thing I have ever seen in my life in this trailer at the 47-second mark. They're interviewing someone called Ernest Cline. He's standing in front of a DeLorean kit Ectomobile. They basically had taken a DeLorean, they've put the Ectomobile kind of logo and stuff down the side of it, and they put Knight Rider kits lights across the front. It is the single coolest thing I have ever seen in my life. I want it so badly.
Literally, like, the mashup of the 80s, so that's kind of cool.
Is.
I like that. Okay, so moving on, then, Nintendo and Sega have announced Mega Man, The Wily Wars, Comic Zone, Zero Wing, and Target Earth for the Nintendo Switch Online Sega Mega Drive. Now, of those games, the one that I think is a really good addition is Comic Zone. I think that's a fantastic game and still is amazing to think of the fact that it was a Mega Drive game. Anton, what was your take on these ones?
I think this is a some really, really good additions. I think what's great about these ones is especially Mega Man and the Wily War and Comic Zone are remarkably rare games. So even if you are somebody that prefers having your games physically and has like a dozen Mega Drive games, these are games that you might not have been able to afford, and they're really good ones. They're not scarce ones. You know, Comic Zone, as you say, is like one of the best games of the Mega Drive era, and it was just kind of a little bit too late in the life cycle of the Mega Drive to really get the attention it deserved. Really happy with this collection here.
Yeah, Comic Zone does look really, really good, doesn't it? I mean, I've never played it. To be fair, since I wasn't a Sega man, I completely was unaware of its existence, but it does look brilliant. And I've got to say, the Mega Man Wily Wars is really cool because it's four games in one. It's not just sort of the game that I think it was called something like The Wily Wars. It's also got Mega Man, Mega Man 1, Mega Man 2, and Mega Man 3 in there. It's got all those four Mega Man games in one, in this collection of four games that have been dropped on. I mean, this is a serious little content dump, and it's quite nice. Although, is this the first time we've had just a Sega dump onto the Nintendo Online? Or I feel it's always come with Nintendo content at the same time, but I may be wrong about that.
I think the last couple of times we've covered it in the podcast, there has happened to be a N64 game, but we have had just purely Sega dumps, like, just on their normal day. But yeah, these are some expensive games. You're getting your money's worth here.
Yeah, definitely. Acuria Co. Limited have announced Sword Art Online Alicization for the Nintendo Switch, published by Bandai Namco. It's an action RPG set in the universe of the Sword Art Online anime, coming soon, no date. I've seen quite a few people talking about this on Twitter. There's a bit of excitement for it. Al, I'm going to assume it's not going to be one that you're going to play.
Probably not, no. I mean, I watched the trailer and went, huh? That's pretty much the noises that came out of my mouth when I watched it. But it's a 2020 RPG, so it's not new, it's just new to us. It's been ported over. And I believe it's actually quite well regarded. I don't know if we've really heard much about it in the West, but in Japan, it's done pretty well, as far as I gather. And there's a lot of excitement. It's another one that's kind of based on an anime, as far as I'm aware. I think the Sword Art Online is a fairly successful anime.
Yeah, big,
out there.
Yeah, big.
So it's a big anime episode, this one.
Indeed. Yeah, it's interesting. We clearly have different sources because I've heard slightly mixed responses towards this title. So overall, though, the trailer does look good. It looks promising. So we'll just have to wait and see if once it lands on Nintendo Switch, if it appeals to the audience well.
And we don't
like the source of the original leak for this one. Mm-hmm. You don't often get leaks from Australia. This is an Australian leak. It popped up on their Electronics Boutique page and then went, ooh, and pulled it back down again, but it got spotted.
I see. Okay, so 2020's 13 remake has some gameplay and a release date of the 13th of September. The Switch port has added online multiplayer, new AI and refined art style. Now, this is a game that was criticised when the remake came out because the art style, people kind of hated it, really. And one of the things that made the original unique was that art style. So it's interesting that they've tweaked it. I kind of feel, Anton, that because I was excited for this because I wanted to play this when it was announced. I feel that I still probably will, but I feel it's maybe come a little late. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, it's a very, very odd one. It feels like it got forgotten. You know, 2 years just for the Switch port when the original plan was, I think, for it to be launched day and date, and then it just got cancelled and then it got panned. However, it's interesting seeing how much work they put into it. You know, it doesn't look quite as close to the original, but they've definitely done a lot of tweaking to that 2020 port to make it look closer to the original. I'm interested to see how much of the reworking of the AI has worked, because that was one of the big critiques of the 2020 release, is it would just break and they would act weird and act dumb. Not really an immersive experience. It's almost like a mini remake of a remake here, Al.
Yeah, it is like a mini remake of a remake. And you're right, they have put a lot of effort into trying to bring this game back to some semblance of what it actually originally was and what people wanted it to be. I mean, it was really bad when it first came out. It was bordering on awful and unplayable. It rightly got slated. So they have put a lot of work into trying to pull this game back into a form that fans will be pleased about instead of being grumpy and angry about. And hopefully that this is kind of what they've done. And I don't mind the fact they've taken so long to make to the Switch, because they've done all this work. On the same day we're getting the game launched, all the other consoles are getting a free-to-play update, which brings it in line, so everyone has the same game across all the platforms. So they've probably made the right decision. Instead of putting it out on the Switch when it's bad, they've just focused on fixing the game, then releasing it and patching it, and it might give them the traction and impetus that they need to, you know, get a few more sales in the bag, which hopefully the game deserves. The original was glorious.
Yeah.
They just went about this kind of badly.
Yeah, it's interesting because watching the footage from the Switch remake, you can see how they've kind of brought it back to that original kind of cel-shaded look, rather than the kind of more modern abstract kind of art they went for. And I think actually it will be to the benefit of the game, and it'll be interesting to see what re-reviews. We spoke about Baldo earlier and getting an update and how different that game is. I wonder how this will be received by the other console owners who have played it, should they play the update. But it is coming out fairly soon, 13th of September. I'm excited to see if it is good, because I do want to play it. Fire Emblem Heroes is Nintendo's first game to hit $1 billion in spending. Mario Kart Tour has overtaken Animal Crossing Pocket Camp in terms of spending, making it to second place. Have you spent any more money on Mario Kart Tour, Al?
Funnily enough, yes, just this month I actually spent a fiver on it. I've not spent any money on this year at all. Look, come on now. Not spent any money on the game this year. And I thought, you know what? I've been playing it every single day. There's a couple of good things coming up in this kind of pack, so I'll spend my fiver and get the month's, whatever they call it, the premium tour thing. And so I have. And I'm still loving that game. It is just, in my mind, is probably one of the best Mario Karts ever. I've never played a Mario Kart as much as I have played this one.
Incredible. It is amazing to see how many people are playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and I've yet to meet any of them. I haven't met any of these playing it, but it's doing incredibly well.
Yeah. Just back to Mario Kart Tour, I totally get why it's good to play, especially when you're busy and, you know, you've got time in between and you can just play it on your phone. It's great, but I don't know. It's good. I do think it's good. I just like the original, I guess. Nintendo is stockpiling Nintendo Switch parts, spending double as much as they did in the industry's last stable period, 2019. Shuntaro Furukawa shared that it's necessary to prepare for production by securing the inventory of raw materials and parts as soon as possible. The first reason is that we keep more raw material in inventories than before. The second reason is the change in accounting due to the application of the new revenue recognition standard and its impact. I suspect all the silicon shortages, Al, might have had something to do with kind of pushing this forward and saying, actually, we need to be careful that if something happens again, given the way the world is right now, it probably makes sense to have these ready.
I'm guessing so. I mean, in all honesty, I haven't looked up to see what their new counting recognition standard is. I suspect it's some very complicated thing that I don't really need to or want to know anything about. I do wonder if there's some merit, some benefit to them in spending a whole lot of money and having inventory in stock rather than having cash, perhaps. So that's maybe one reason why they're buying a lot of stuff. But yeah, generally, I think it's just an issue. They're just trying to avoid supply chain issues and they'll be buying up a whole lot of raw materials. Plus the fact they're probably trying to build up a stock for the Switch 2 or whatever the heck they're going to call it. And having that stuff, a lot of it will be the same bits and pieces are in both versions of them, and it'll be standard things, I imagine. So yeah, I can understand there's several good reasons for buying up a whole lot of bits and pieces and sticking in a warehouse somewhere.
Absolutely. It is. I think this year is a prime example of it, where Nintendo is doing so well that they're basically, you know, in terms of hardware, going to be selling out more hardware than they have, you know, the ability to make. I know there's kind of concerns that due to how much, you know, the silicon situation, that, you know, hardware sales will be down this year. And, you know, by having a stockpile, that's one way of preventing it and, you know, keeping your share price high by not scaring them that you're not going to be able to supply enough consoles.
Yeah.
Seems very wise.
Makes sense. Nintendo have shared salaries for their top three directors. Shintaro Furukawa is on $2.3 million, Shigeru Miyamoto is on $1.8 million, and Shinya Takahashi, $1.4 million. The only three salaries to beat those have been reported as the hosts of the NSUKP podcast, who are on $3.4 million each, apart from Al, who apparently is on £3.40, but I don't know, that might be a typo. Anyway,
that explains a lot.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a lot of money, Al.
Funnily enough, I actually looked at those numbers and went, that's a lot less money than I was expecting.
Really?
But then I thought, you know what? Oh, that's just their salary. They'll have all their share options. They'll be getting a lot more than that. That'll just be their salary. And actually, that probably makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a lot
of money. Given how cashy, rich Nintendo is, it's a huge company. For their execs to, inverted commas, only be getting that was kind of surprising. But yeah, and I thought about it, that's only a teeny tiny bit of their overall package. So yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, you know, I remember hearing that like Tim Cook makes $1 million a year, and it's, you know, there's some logistics there that is meaning he's getting a lot more than $1 million a year, because I remember at that time their lead designer got $40 million a year. So I'm like, okay, there's some accounting wizardry that's going on here. I know like Nintendo doesn't even allow Shigeru Miyamoto to cycle to work. You know, you don't get that sort of treatment when you only make $1 million a year. You know, that's, there's bigger things at work there.
We're in the wrong job. That's all I'll say.
Oh, God, yeah, we are. Absolutely. <That's> the wrong
job. Nintendo have launched Widecare in Japan. It's the equivalent of £12 a year to cover 6 repairs a year, including accidental damage, such as water damage. Why don't we get things like this, Alistair?
Well, we might. They've literally just launched this in Japan, and it does cover everything. Pretty much every single thing you can think of with your Switch, it's covered by it, including Joy-Con drift. So I like to think that this might eventually make its way to over to the States and then over here, and we might finally get all of our broken Joy-Cons fixed for £12 instead of having to either send them off and pay like, you know, £50 for them, or just buy some new ones or £50.
Yeah, it just seems cheap though, Anton.
Yeah, it's shockingly cheap. I don't think, you know, when I heard this, I was like, wow, Nintendo must really not think Joy-Con drift's a problem after all. Maybe they were telling the truth when they said that. This is shocking. I would love this. The one thing I'm not familiar with, and I would love to learn more, especially if we did it, get it over here in the West, is whether or not this is available to existing Nintendo Switch users, obviously being that, you know, the older install base wouldn't have had the opportunity to get this, but I won't lie, if they brought this out here, this would be getting me up to a Switch OLED, because I won't lie, one of the reasons I'm so hesitant is like, why do I buy a console that I know the controllers are going to break in like a year and a bit?
yeah, absolutely. Twitter user Momiji Manchu, that's the Twitter tag, but I mean, I've pronounced that badly, has spent $43,212 on Nintendo shares to personally ask Shintaro Furukawa at a shareholder meeting about the possibility of a new F-Zero game or remake. I kind of love this. I would say, though, I think there's a little bit of spin on the story, because I suspect that buying those shares in Nintendo is probably a long-term, reasonably solid bet anyway, Alistair.
I mean, it might be. I just want to know who has a spare $43,000 to spend on buying shares.
I do, with my $3 million question. Salary. Yeah. Anton, do you would you spend this kind of money to get a good Sonic game?
Oh my
God, Frontiers
might
be.
I don't think you have enough money in the universe to get a good Sonic game these days. You know, I love this. You know, if you believe in a company, you know, you have this opportunity to change and influence the direction of these companies. And yeah, take that opportunity. And I just hope he does it every single shareholder meeting. You know, it should
this
be like
one thing.
Annoying. Yeah. That there's this person keeps on asking about F-Zero, and that will motivate them to make a new one, because clearly money hasn't worked already.
I think fair play to the dedication and spending power of that person. It's time for Turbo Mode.
Yes.
So I'm going to fly through a few stories, get your thoughts on them. There's some interesting ones this week as well, but I'll leave my comments to last today, and we're going to start with this story. Rhythm game Thumper has a new update, adding practice mode, restart from checkpoint, new checkpoint score, rank, tally display, and many fixes. Capcom have announced Dragon's Dogma 2 has entered development but doesn't detail platforms. Portal Companion Collection have leaked beta levels from Portal 2. Due to the Portal Companion Collection porting the Source engine to Switch, modders have been able to load Half-Life 2 in the Switch version of Portal. Pokemon will be returning to McDonald's Happy Meals. Splatoon 3 will now feature eyebrow customization. Thank goodness for that. YouTuber Slopes Game Room have shared never-before-shared gameplay from a cancelled Epic Mickey spin-off, Epic Donald. Dicey Dungeons has new free DLC called Dicey Dungeons Reunion with 6 new episodes, totaling 5 hours of new content. Nier Automata, the end of Yoraha edition physical copy, is going to launch for $34.99 and will feature reversible artwork. Ubisoft is closing their online services for the Wii U version of Assassin's Creed 3, Rayman Legends, and Zombie U. And Sakurai shares a photo of his retro video game collection. I saw that earlier today, actually. Anton, where do you want to start with all that?
Oh my God, I would love Half-Life on the Switch. If it's so easy that fans are able to literally quote-unquote load Half-Life 2 into it, come on. Valve, the team that ported it, I believe it was Nvidia that ported it for them. I just want to see this on the console. It, you know, it's a great game, a classic. I think there'll be many gamers now that have maybe missed the opportunity to play Half-Life, especially if we're in the console end. Would love to see it get a fresh lease of life on Nintendo Switch. And yeah, that is a highlight.
that's your moment. Okay, cool. Alistair.
Actually, I'm kind of the same, Anton. I was looking at all these stories going, there's really not a whole lot going on this week. I know Mike probably has a few things he wants to talk about in here. I think it's kind of cool we're getting more Pokemon Happy Meal stuff, because let's face it, that always generates a whole load of headlines, a load of excitement that will probably make my son desperate to get to McDonald's and will be bugging me to go and get Pokemon cards or Pokemon toys or whatever we end up getting. I think the only thing we know so far is the fact that it's coming, because we've had a leak of the Happy Meal box that says Pokemon coming soon to Happy Meal. That's all we know so far. So yeah, that's kind of exciting. And I quite like the picture of Furukawa's gaming collection. I mean, it's impressive, but it's not as big as I thought it might have been, his retro game collection. It's big but modest. What I'm more impressed with is the I was looking up a couple of articles, and they reshared a picture he shared a while ago of just his general gaming setup in his lounge. He's got two enormous TVs set up side by side, and that's his living room setup. I have so much TV jealousy and envy right now. And to add to that, the fact that Mike's just bought himself a new massive monitor for his office, which sounds absolutely amazing. There's so much screen envy going on right now that I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, well, I'm going to mention a couple of these that you haven't mentioned. First of all, Dragon's Dogma 2. That's really cool. Dragon's Dogma is a really good title, and it's well done. I've played not a huge amount, probably 6-7 hours of it. And it's, I think the second one, that's good news. There'll be a lot of people happy about that. And the other thing I was going to mention was Epic Donald, because Epic Mickey was a really decent remaster when that came out. So that would have been really cool, but not to be. And yeah, that's probably it. The retro video game collection was cool, and a lot of people will be happy about the Dicey Dungeon stuff as well. So there we are. That's all I had to contribute, really. Let's talk about rumours.
No, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Now, I say rumours, but it's really just a rumor this week, because, well, you know, we talked about the Direct and there was a lot there, but the rumor this week is from a Twitter leak, and it's Psylocke Hunter 2 has claimed that Bayonetta 3 will launch on the 28th of October this year. Now, my theory is that Nintendo are working on something right now for a Direct that is going to be more focused on Nintendo titles, and I wonder if we're going to, in the next 6 weeks, say, have a Direct that is focused on Breath of the Wild, new Mario Kart DLC, Bayonetta 3, I think would be in there, and maybe one or two others. That's my theory. Anton, where do you sit with it?
You know, this feels quite plausible. You know, it's at the beginning of the holiday season. It isn't competing in November or December, but it's still a big release. I could see October as a plausible month for this. I think we're definitely overdue a Direct. We almost always have a Nintendo Direct in June, and we did, but lacking the first party excitement that we would usually fall in love with. So I think we're very much due something, and Bayonetta is primed for some more details and news, especially considering they've just recently shown a little bit more gameplay at the last Nintendo, or main Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, the hype has been building for Bayonetta 3. It's been coming for such a long time. We've seen it now, two Directs, I think, that we've shown it now. So yeah, the fact that hype is building, it would suggest the 28th of October sounds like a very reasonable date. And actually, I'm kind of on board, Mike, with your idea that we're probably going to get a first-party Direct coming at some point in the next month to 2 months, where they'll show us this, they'll show us some other Nintendo things. We discussed this briefly last week, and I think it sounds like a very reasonable proposition to me.
Yeah, I think there will be some third-party content. I think it'll be called a Direct. And I think the mini Direct was kind of to keep people happy, because I suspect there's probably a couple of games, big titles, that are just waiting on final things before they can announce release dates. Probably Breath of the Wild 2, I would think, and the next Mario Kart DLC perhaps as well. But yeah, I think that's going to happen. I hope so, because I love a Direct, as we talked about. By the way, before we move on, Anton, having watched the mini Direct, I gave it a 9 out of 10. I thought it was a fantastic Direct, and it exceeded my expectations, because I didn't expect it to be quite so full of content. There was 27 titles, and there was some really strong stuff. Al, however, did agree that he thought it was a really good Direct, but for him personally, it was a 6.5, 7. What did you land it as?
I would say it's an 8. I think all the games they showed were really good, but for me personally, there was only a couple games that were like, I'm going to get that one. So even though there was no duds, for me personally, it sits in at an 8. But really enjoyed it, though.
Good. Not a nice wide variety of scores. And speaking of scores, it's time for the quiz.
I have so many questions.
It surely is. We are sitting at Anton 8, Mike on 7. It's been neck and neck for weeks. You guys are just like, you're just constantly getting... I don't know how to describe it. You're racing.
I'm looking at this with 5 months to go, and I'm thinking there's still time.
This is tight and exciting. I'm loving this. Let's see if Mike can draw level with Anton again this week, because I have faith, Mike. I have faith. Right. I think you can do this. Dig deep, buddy.
Someone has to, because I don't, but let's do it.
All right, let's talk about our first game. It's a 1982 arcade game.
Galaga.
It is not Galaga. Or Galaga.
Galaga. Slow motion.
Ms. Pac-Man.
It is not Ms. Pac-Man either. It was released on home consoles in 1983, including on the Atari 2600 and the 5200 and the ColecoVision and the 8-bit family and the Commodore 64 and the Apple II.
Frogger.
It's not Frogger.
Could you list off those consoles again, please?
The Atari 2600, the Atari 5200, the ColecoVision, the 8-bit family, the Commodore 64, and the Apple II.
Donkey Kong.
No. It also came out in 1984 on the MSX and in 1985 on the NES.
Super Mario Bros.
Nope.
Space Invaders 2.
Nope. It appeared on the Gacken LCD tabletop, and then the Game Boy, and the Sharp X68000, and eventually on the Game Boy Advance in 2004.
Pong.
Nope.
It was earlier than that.
Is it Space Harrier. It won't be.
No, it is not. It has appeared on many, many Namco compilations.
Breakout.
No.
Dig Dug?
Hey! He got it! Dig Dug! I was actually sure Mike would get it, because I'm sure you used to play Dig Dug, didn't you, Mike?
I had it on one of the collections, yes. But I, to be honest, you could have asked me for another year and I probably still wouldn't have got to Dig Dug. Never mind. Well done, Anton.
Very good. Very good indeed. All right, let's go to a completely different direction. Let's go for an action-adventure sandbox game released in 2013.
Oh, wow. Okay. 2013.
Yeah.
GTA 5.
No.
2013, The Last of Us.
Nope. It was released on the Xbox 360, the PS3, the Wii, the Wii U, the 3DS, and PC.
Sandbox, open adventure games.
I'm specifically calling it a sandbox game.
Right.
Action-adventure sandbox
game. The Simpsons.
Game. No.
That was earlier.
Is it Batman Arkham City?
No, I'm not. It was a big game, though. It had a budget of $100 million.
Oh, wow. Watch Dogs?
No.
Is it Rayman Legends?
It's not. It spawned two sequels.
Two sequels?
Yep.
2013. Gee whiz. I cannot think.
So the next two clues are likely to give it away very quickly. So we'll see if either of you gets it or who gets it first.
Well, I've still got to guess this one. So 2013, sandbox on lots of different platforms. Two sequels since then. That's the bit that's throwing me slightly.
It's on the Wii U, so I'm going to be kicking myself.
It's on the Wii U.
I'm ready.
I'm going to say it's... I don't know. I really can't think of one. But
it's
it
not
be.
Often you guys get completely stumped for at least any answer. You're only come up with something.
Yeah. The Wii U bit's the confusing part of it.
I'm enjoying Anton's face. Anton actually looks pained right now.
Yeah.
Because I've got it over this way, so I'm like trying not to even remotely look in that direction.
It's also the fact it was on the Wii as well. That's what's confusing.
Yeah. Two sequels.
All right, you're going to have to give me something, guys.
Skylanders.
No, it's not Skylanders, but I like your guess. I like your guess a lot.
Is it the other one that did the interactive stuff?
You need to give me a name, Mike.
Flip Flop. I think I have it. It's
dun, 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 dun,
I don't know. Just move on. I know what it is, but I can't remember what it's called now.
All right, it mixed real life toys with video game worlds.
Yeah. Disney Infinity.
Disney Infinity, yeah. That's the one.
I knew what it was and I couldn't remember.
Well done, Anton.
Well done.
That was two for two.
All three of those dumb, stupid games and their dumb portals and their dumb figures that take up space.
I still don't understand why anybody bought the games or the toys. They were just such a money-making... they were awful. Capitalism at its best or worst, depending how you look at it. It's like, buy this game and buy all these toys for several hundred pounds to be able to play the game. It was awful.
Yeah. At least they were
decent games,
good,
though.
Yeah, Lego Dimensions was fun.
That was good. That was good. Yeah. There were some moments in it, but I know where you're coming from. Anyway, let's do the last one. I might as well try and claw back some pride.
All right, well, I'll get you to guess first, Mike. What year did Micro Machines 64 Turbo come out?
Right, I had the first...
That should narrow it down. It should give you at least a window.
Yeah, well, I had the first three on the Mega Drive, and I think the Mega Drive version of that came out in 96, but it'll be... I'm going to go slightly later than that and go 97.
I will go 98.
Anton has got a clean sweep this week. It was 1999.
Never mind. Well done, Anton. So it's only two, though, so we've still got time. And it was a tough week. You did well.
Why, thank you. Yeah. Good game yourself.
Good game.
Very much enjoyed you guys being completely stumped. It's not often I managed to properly stump you. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, well, you're doing well with the games this year, I must admit. That is about it from us. Just before we finish, Anton, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think if you want to learn more about all the incredible content that we do, nsukp.co.uk/support-us. If you want to learn more about the Patreon itself, me, Mike and Al, we'll be doing a whole bunch of new stuff very shortly on the Patreon spaces. And if that's not enough, of course, we've got the YouTube. That is the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. We have our review out today. There will be one out next week and possibly till the time the sun burns out. Or at least my heart, whichever one happens first. Oh, we don't quite know with global warming.
Terribly sad. Yes, and again, a huge thanks to everyone for all your support. Al, if people want to get in touch with you and the team, what's the best way to do that?
They can email podcast@nsukp.co.uk, including getting us feedback on how you're finding the adverts, where they are, what they are, just any feedback, chuck it our way. It's all useful stuff. We can feed it back to our platform and they can hopefully improve some of the ways they deliver things. And of course, you can send us a homing pigeon or a dog with a note around its barrel, around its barrel, in a barrel around its neck, or you can just visit Mike. His home address is beep, so you can turn up there. Sure. Anything else you want to add?
No, you just made me remember the TV show Woof when you were talking about the dog. Do you remember Woof?
Oh, I forgot about Woof.
Yeah, it was great. I think the theme tune not go do 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 do.
That sounds familiar.
I think it is that
conversation very recently last night. I think I showed my other half about Doobie Duck. I'd forgotten about Doobie Duck. Go and watch Doobie Duck on YouTube. It is the trippiest, weirdest, most terrible thing the BBC has ever made. But it spawned my brain going Doobie Doobie Quack Quack.
Well, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go and check that out. I'm already typing it into YouTube. That is it from us. Thank you so much. We will see you later. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.